Hallelujah. We are going to talk today about, probably pretty much every one of you are very familiar with this portion of Scripture, but I know every time that I read it, I get more understanding and there's more excitement and it stirs up things within me. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And my purpose for doing this and what we're going to talk about is, I'm going to let you guess. My purpose for doing this Scripture, this actually is a chapter, is for a reminder for all of us. It's also for an encouragement for some of you that need encouragement. And it's also as a challenge because, we need to keep working on our relationship with Him, keep on developing our relationship, keep on drawing closer to Him. So that's what the purpose of this message is for this morning. So anybody want to take a guess on what chapter of the Bible I am going to teach on this morning besides Shell, who already knows? Very familiar. No. What'd you say? Psalm 23. Very good. You get a gold star. All right. Okay, so we're going to look at Psalm 23 this morning, and as I said, you've probably heard it at funerals, if nothing else. You hear it. It's if you've been in church at all, I'm sure you've heard it at some point. Generally, it's given in a religious way of giving it, when what Psalm 23 is actually about is our life here on this earth, the potential we have as children of God, how life should be on this earth. That's what this psalm is about. And so that's why it's so important. If you go before and after, Psalm 22 and 24, Psalm 22, I believe, is about, Jesus, going to the cross and, talking about that, prophetically. So then Psalm 23 is about life now. So we want to look at Psalm 23. So I encourage you to, if you have a Bible or pull it up on your screen, whatever, and as we go through this, and to just look at it in a new way. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you new understanding and new direction with it, and have Him speak to you through it individually, along with us looking at this together. So let's do the whole thing together first, because I'm sure you know it. So either quote it or read it. We're going to be doing it in King James for as we read together. Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Okay, so let's go back to verse 1. And, like I said, one of the things is a reminder. Some of the stuff I talk about, obviously, I've talked about before. But so to remind ourselves of who we actually are in Christ and what actually belongs to us. So the first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Other translation says, "I shall not lack." There is no lack. When the Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack. And, I've talked about this before. The reason we sin is because we have a feeling of lack. The reason we get depressed is because of feeling of lack. The reason things go wrong, the reason that we pull away from God for whatever reason, it's all because of lack. We feel, at some level, we believe that God cannot meet whatever need I have. Say it's a need, a need for sex. Well, I don't believe that I can get married and have a wonderful relationship like that for whatever reason. So I want to find sex my own way, whether it's in pornography or, whatever it may be, promiscuous sex, whether it's homosexuality, anything like that. That's just an obvious, example of lack. But there's so many ways. Why do we overeat? Because there's a feeling of lack. We're looking for something that we're not having, we aren't being met with with our relationship with God, so we go to another source. What's all addiction? What's the reason for all addiction? Because I feel there's lack. There's something missing in my life. And instead of us going to the answer, to the source of life and the source of everything we could ever want, ever desire, we go to something else to fulfill that need. And what do? Most of the time, we get ourselves in trouble. Most of the time, we bring pain into our lives. We bring more lack into our lives. You know, we never get what we're looking for, you know, as a long-term thing, as a eternal thing, as an answer thing. You know, anytime we try to fulfill a need or a desire without doing it God's way, we are not going to, it's going to be temporary. That's what, you know, the word says, you know, sin has pleasure for a season, you know. And sin is anything that I'm talking about this morning. Sin is anything that we're going to another source other than God to meet our need. The word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. There is no lack when the Lord is my shepherd. So if there's no lack when the Lord is my shepherd and I feel like I have lack in my life, then obviously we come back to, is the Lord my shepherd? Now, you know, I'm not going to go in and do a whole lot of a long study on shepherds. You know, basically, shepherds take care of sheep. You know, I think we know that. And the things with shepherds is, you know, they're there to guide the sheep. They're there to protect the sheep. They're there to lead the, you know, to feed the sheep. You know, a shepherd has multiple purposes. And if you know anything about God, you know that this is what God does. This is what Jesus does. Jesus is here to guide us, you know, through the Holy Spirit. You know, God is here, part of our salvation is protection, you know, from the things that, you know, that are evil in life. You know, so God has, you know, as a shepherd, everything that we could need, everything that we could want to have in our life is in that shepherd. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, what are you looking for? Who is leading your life? Maybe you're leading your own life. Well, I can guarantee you, you're in for a fall. You know, I've been here on this earth for 66 years, and I guarantee every time that I was in control of my life and every time I decided how my life was going to go, I had problems. And I can guarantee you, everybody in this room, the same thing is going to be true for you. Because we cannot, you know, we're not God. You know what? Did you realize that? You're not God. Great revelation this morning. I think we're done. Okay? You know, it's so much of the time, you know, when we have a need, you know, we have lack, and I have got to figure it out. I have got to come up with the answer. I have got to come up with the solution. I have got to fix it. Well, if you were so smart and you had all the answers, well, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in the first place. Because you would have been smart enough before you got there to, you know, to keep you from being in that mess. But we find ourselves in messes and everything, you know, from soup to nuts, as they say. And the reason is we are not having the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. So once again, we go farther back. Okay, the Lord. Okay, is Jesus actually your Lord? You know, what does it tell us? And when we get born again, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's see, how does it say? If we confess with our mouth the Lord, you know, that Jesus died, no, that's not how it goes. If we believe in our heart, we shall be saved. So the key in there is, so much of the church, ourselves included, we present Jesus, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior. It doesn't say that. If we go back and read it, which I'm not going to do, but if we go back and read it, or if you look it up, you can see it's about you make Jesus your Lord. And that's why so many Christians, ourselves included, that's why we fail so many times. That's why, you know, life is not like, you know, when you hear my message this morning, you say, yeah, that sounds good, but that's not how my experience. That's not how I've enjoyed life. Well, you know, the first thing we have to look at is Jesus actually my Lord? Does Jesus actually run my life? Is Jesus actually in control of my life? Well, I don't, you know, and then that red flag and that, you know, that it stirs up within us. I don't want somebody else in control of my life. That's too scary for me. Yeah. Or a whole bunch of other reasons. Yeah. Back to what we were talking about before. No, I'm smarter than God. I know more. You know, I want to decide what I'm doing and when I'm doing it and how I'm doing it. And basically, for the most part, I would say it's because if you have a religious understanding of God, and you don't understand who God actually is, and you do not experience the love that God has for you that is unbelievable. The more we experience God's love, the more life is wonderful. You know, if you're not there, then I can understand why you don't want Jesus as your Lord. But the only way the rest of this psalm is going to apply in your life, number one, if you're a child of God, born again, that's step one. But step two is he Lord? The more he is Lord, the more you are going to enjoy what we're going to talk about this morning. If he is just your Savior, don't expect to enjoy all the stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. You may get, you know, hit and miss. You may have good things happen and then bad things happen and good things happen and bad things happen. But if Jesus is your Lord, then you have the promise that this belongs to you. Because it says, when the Lord is your shepherd, you have no lack. Okay? Praise God. Okay. So in other words, when you follow, not lead. And that's what a shepherd does. That's the big thing with being a shepherd. You know, if you've ever had sheep, you know, growing up, we had sheep. And you don't push sheep. You know, you lead sheep. You know, you show them where you go. You guide them. You know, you keep them. And, you know, and sheep are stupid. You know, chickens are stupid too, as I have discovered, but they're smart in their own way. But anyhow, back to sheep. But sheep are generally, they don't know, you know, they're very vulnerable. You know, they don't have generally any way to protect themselves. And, they do decide, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, and that gets them into trouble, and they get themselves, you know, caught in things and all that, because they're not real smart. But we think we're smart. We think we have it together. We think we know how to live life. We think we know how to make it work. We think, you know, if I just confess this 10 times, well, then it has to work. And, you know, if I just read my Bible every day, it has to work. And if I just ask God to heal me, then it has to work. And if I do this, then it has to work. And that's not leading. I mean, that's not following. That's, I decide. And I don't have the time to go into all details of what that means, but all I can tell you is, you know, as I said, part of this is a challenge for you to go to God and continue to work on your relationship with him. And that's an individual thing. And how God says to do something today may be different than how he tells you to do this. You may have faced the same situation, you know, 6 months from now, and he may tell you something totally different on how to deal with it than he's telling you today. That's why, I forget how, there's a phrase and, you know, the truth, yeah, I don't remember the phrase, so we won't go there. So it's once again, it's a daily, it's an individual thing. It's a, you know, relationships, there is no cookie cutter relationship with God. You have to find out how your relationship works. I can tell you what my experience is. I can give you principles from the Word on how to draw closer to God and steps to take and, you know, things to try. But when it comes down to it, it's you and God. And you can't say, well, they told me this and so, yeah, and this one, and then, you know. No, it's you and God. It's not complicated. It's not complicated being married. It's not complicating having a child. It's not complicating, you know, having a friend. It's what's in your heart. And you just move towards that person and you figure it out as you go. And you may screw up and then you have to go backtrack or something. You may have to, you know, say you're sorry, but you just do it. Nobody teaches you how to be married. Nobody teaches you how to be a parent. It would be nice if we knew more than, you know, it would be nice if I knew what I know now, you know, 40 years ago, but I didn't and neither did you. So it's a day thing. It's you know, you look for information, you try this, you go by what's inside you. It's the same as your relationship with God. Nobody can tell you this is how to make it happen. It's between you and God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Verse number 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And this is, you know, we look at it natural because it I believe there's, you know, there's a lot of depth in the word. And you know, and when you read it one time, it's that you see this, and then you read it, you know, 6 months later or 5 years later, and you see something you totally never saw before. And so we're going to start with, you know, first he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still water. So back to the sheep deal, you know, and I've shared you this before, you know, sheep, you know, sheep and goats eat differently, in case you didn't know. You know, sheep need good grazing ground. And if sheep, you know, another thing about sheep is if you leave them on the same field too long, they will just, you know, eat until it's down to the roots. You know, they can totally destroy if they're not getting, you know, new grass on a regular basis. They'll can just totally destroy the pasture they're in, which is another message there. But we're not going to go there. But anyhow, so you know, he says he took them into the green pastures. So we see that food. He's supplying their food. And then also the still waters, and I've shared this with you before. With sheep, you have to have still water. Sheep will not drink out of a running stream. There has to be, you know, even if you have a stream, it has to be a side pool where it's still. That's, you know, that's what the way sheep are. So we can see here that naturally, God is taking that, you know, the Lord, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, whichever one you want to use, it says he makes us to lie down in green pastures. So, you see, he takes us to the green pastures and he takes us to the still waters. So our needs are supplied. Our natural needs are supplied. If the Lord is your shepherd, your natural needs are supplied. You don't have to keep praying about finances. You don't have to keep praying about natural things, because he said, if he is your shepherd, you just know that you know that you know it's going to be okay. I may not know how it's going to happen. I may not know, you know, it may look like where I don't know where the money's coming from, but I can tell you, the more you trust in him, the more you depend on him as your Lord, that the more that you, the less you have to pray about your personal needs.
Amen.
Because all these blessings come with salvation. What we're talking about this morning is what belongs to you as a born-again child of God.
Amen.
But our problem is, you know, once again, to that first verse, is the Lord your shepherd? Okay, so we have the green pastures, we have the still waters, so he is supplying our natural needs. But also it says that he says here he makes us to lie down in the green pastures. So it's not just eating. There's more to it than this, we can see. Because, you know, so you're, let me see here what I have for my notes. It says, the one place I found this phrase, it says, God provides, talking about the green pastures, God provides for his people not only food and rest, but refreshment also and pleasure. So we can see it's not just the natural needs, but you know, when I'm looking up, you know, many of the words in this psalm as I was studying for this, and a lot of what we see with this green pastures and still waters, we're talking about rest and refreshment. What does it talk about the Hebrews? You know, I forget which chapter it is in Hebrews. It talks about entering into his rest. When Jesus is Lord of your life, you enter into his rest. That means you live in peace. Sorry. That means we live in peace and joy and righteousness and love. That's where we abide. That's where we live. That's who we are. And so that's the rest, you know. And it also talks about the refreshing. You know, I forget which message I was talking about a few weeks ago. At times of refreshing. It's one of the things that we want to have in our services is times of refreshing, because we're all out there in life and things don't always go right. And even when Jesus is Lord of your life and he's your shepherd, everything is not going to go right, because we live in this world. But when things go wrong, you know, you're still in the rest. You can still be, even when everything's falling apart around you, you can still be in rest. You can still be in peace. You can still be in joy. You can still be in love. Because that's what belongs to us. That's who we are. That's, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. That's one of the blessings that comes along with it. And, there's another verse about refreshing. Now I can't remember what it is. But times are refreshing. You know, Rodney Howard Brown, some of you remember Rodney Howard Brown. He still ministers, but you don't hear about remember he was the laughing, you know, his service of laughing. Been in his services and, you know, just the Holy Spirit would come, you know, and it was criticized. Oh, I've been in services where he was criticized, you know. But, you know, it wasn't anything he did. It was just times of refreshing. There's times that you need to just laugh. You know, what does it tell you? You know, the chapter in Proverbs, you know, the one of the Proverbs, you know, is a heart does, you know, what is it? Merry medicine. Yes, it's like medicine. And science, you know, medically they have proven it. You know, there was a guy that wrote a book years ago about he laughed his way to health. You know, he watched funny movies, that he laughed his way to health. So, you know, I don't care if you have a sense of humor or not, you know, get alone by yourself, look in the mirror and laugh, you know. There's probably something there that's funny. But, you know, that's why, you know, I said this years ago, you know, there was many years ago, someone said to me, you know, that they had a problem with my laugh. And I just decided, you know, I don't care. It's more important, you know, I'm going to laugh because my health is in laughing. So, you know, I try to laugh, you know. I try to see the funny side of things. And, you know, and I can tell you, you know, life is better when you can laugh. Praise God. Okay, verse number 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so you want to see here that God is in control. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is where he takes me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So we see here, this is life when Jesus is in control, okay? And control, I know that has a negative sounding word. I can't think of another word that I want to use instead of that right now. But it's not that he's suppressing you and he's taking the fun out of life. You know, he gives life. You know, you can't get any better life than when Jesus is your Lord. But the other thing I want you to see here is we don't have to make it happen. We don't, you know, we want to, you know, there's other scriptures, you know, he tells us not to be lazy, not to be slothful. You know, we're supposed to be doing stuff in life, but it's not up to me, you know, to meet my needs. It's not up to me. He supplies the jobs. He supplies the raises. You know, he supplies the blessings. You know, as I follow him, you know, it all works together. It all comes together. Let's see here. So he restores my soul. And so we know the soul is what? 3 parts. Mind, will, and emotions, okay? And that is, you know, we say that kind of like by rote and don't personalize it a lot of times. You don't recognize exactly what we're talking about. But that's who we are. This is the, you know, we have a spirit. You know, that's the God part of us. You know, as we're born again, that's where God resides within us. And remember, the soul and the spirit are what makes up the heart. And so you have the God side of that and you have the us side of that. For most of us here, the us side, you know, the soul part of us is screwed up in a lot of ways. We have a lot of issues because we have backgrounds. We have people that hurt us. We have things that happen to us. We have experiences. And, you know, all of that is buried in you. It never goes away. It's a thing called cellular memories. And it's all buried inside. Somewhere in your being, in your body, everything that ever happened to you, every experience, every word that was ever spoken to you is all inside you. If we deal with it, you know, is in part of this is, you know, having the Lord be our shepherd, then the bad part of it, other things are released. If we don't deal with it, it is in there and it will come out. Most of the time it comes out with physical symptoms somewhere in our life, you know. And if you don't believe me, you know, read, there's several studies they have done. There's multiple, you know, I think there's books on this even that people have written. You know, when people have heart transplants is the one place that they have, you know, seen this. And multiple people, they've had a heart transplant and they start having desires for things they never wanted before they had the heart transplant. They have memories that never happened to them, but when they have looked into it, these desires were the person where the heart came from. These memories are from the person that the heart came from. So that's why I'm telling you, everything is, it's in there. Your memories are all in there. And so our thing is to have, you know, what he's talking about here, he restores my soul. He wants to heal your mind. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to heal your life. What does he say? He says Jesus was sent to heal the broken heart. We all have some level of a broken heart. I guarantee that not a one of us had the perfect parents, that we were always, you know, everything always was spoken positively over us. We never had a bad experience in elementary school. We never had, you know, that we never had kids, you know, friends reject us or other kids in school reject us, or maybe when you were an adult. We all have had our wounds. But the problem is most of the time we just stuff it, or we just say it doesn't matter. Or we tell our kids, you know, that was no big deal. But to whoever is, you know, whatever is going on, it doesn't have to, you know, some people, you know, they went to the horrors of the Holocaust and came out with successful lives. Other people have this, you know, you'd think it was a minuscule thing, you know, it was like no big deal, but it totally ruined their life because of something that happened to them. It's because of how we interpret things and that. And so we have these wounds. But it says here, if Jesus is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, part of what he does is he restores your soul. He brings it back to total health. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Once again, he leads me. This is where God is going to take you. If you're wondering with what's going on in your life, whether God is directing it or whether God is doing it or someone's telling you, God is causing this in your life. God's trying to teach you this in your life. God's causing you to be sick because he wants to teach you something. Or you're going through this crappy situation, you know, your world is falling apart, and you're being told that God is teaching you something in this. That is just crap. I'll be blunt. Because it says here, what? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of right standing with him. He leads me into the paths of how it should be, how life should be. If I am thinking about, you know, what was Jesus' life like? What is Jesus' life like now? What was Adam's life, and Adam and Eve's lives like before they sinned? That's the kind of life that God wants for us. He doesn't bring garbage into our lives to teach us something and to show us something. What a horrible father he would be. Anybody that, you know, if he was here on earth today and it was, you know, it was actually going on. What happens when people find out that a parent is treating their child incorrectly, you know? What are they get arrested and thrown in jail. They get Facebook attack. Because someone isn't doing it the way I think it should be done. So yeah. But anyhow, so, you know, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. This word paths is course of action. He shows me what is the best way to go through a situation. And the only way I'm going to hear him and know actually what I'm supposed to do is the word of God and spending time with him and you know, learning his voice. And, you know, a lot of times his voice is, I have an impression. You know, I have this sense I should do this. Or this just doesn't set right. Well, if you have, you're dealing with a situation and something, this doesn't set right. And it may look really good, but if it doesn't set right inside, well, that's a big red light stop sign until you sort out and figure out why this isn't setting right, then don't proceed for your own, you know, for your protection. That's what God does. Now, sometimes we can think, you know, this is my spirit, this is God telling me not to do this. And sometimes if we're honest with ourselves and we look inside ourselves and we spend time with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to reveal, and as you learn yourself, you recognize it's just fear or it's anxiety. You know, I've told you this before, you know, years ago, you know, used to spend a lot of time in intercession. And, you know, thought that, you know, had all these impressions, you know, that I need to pray. Something's not right. Something, you know, something isn't right. And so, you know, we'd spend all these hours in prayer and thought that it was God. And then finally, you know, God spoke to me and showed me if it's in fear, it's not God. God does not use fear. Absolutely never does God use fear. I don't care what it is. God can speak to you without making you feel anxious. So if you feel anxious, you're missing it. Somewhere, you're missing it. But we don't have to live there. Once again, that's one of the things he comes, restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness. And it also says here, for his name's sake. In other words, it's not based on my performance. It's not for me doing everything right. It's because of what Jesus has done. My life, I don't have a promise of being successful in life unless I'm doing it through Jesus. If Jesus paid the price for it, if Jesus, you know, died for it, if Jesus went to hell for it, if Jesus was risen from the dead for it, then that's my life. So everything that is in Jesus, that belongs to me. So it's not about me. It's not about how good I am or how much I screwed up. It's about Jesus. And as I am in Christ, Christ is in me. And as I walk in that, then I'm going to go in the right direction. Then I'm going to accomplish, you know, what I'm called to accomplish, or, you know, have life, success in what I'm doing. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now I want you to watch here. What do we talk about in these first few verses? He leads me this way. He leads me this way. He leads me this way. He takes me here. What does it say in this verse? Even that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God didn't take me here. God didn't lead me here. It was me. So, you know, it's I walk, my doing, not his. So we find ourselves in a mess, you know, whatever it may be. And you know, and the lie, you know, well, you have to have bad things happen to learn. You know, there's a principle that's true, but other than that, I said, forget it. That's that. Based on what? You know, we're just too stupid to learn in the good times. That's why we end up having to learn in the bad times. And I have been through numerous bad times in my life. And I know about a lot of other people that have been through bad times in their life. And what makes the difference of whether I turn to God or whether I turn away from God, whether I learn anything or whether I go through the same thing, you know, next year or 2 years or 5 years down the road, the whole thing depends on my decision on whether I go to God in the situation or whether I turn away from God in the situation. That's what determines. It's not the situation. It's not having things go wrong in your life or to learn something. What, you know, once again, as a parent, okay, you've got to make sure, okay, your parent, you've got to make sure your kids screw up. You have got to make sure they have lack in their lives because they've got to learn. You've got to make this bad thing happen in your life and you've got to cause, and they're in a mess here. And so, okay, you're on your own. You've got to learn. Now, I understand that we're supposed to train our kids. But once again, what a horrible parent you would be. Okay, you've got to be sick a while because you've got to learn this. Or you've got to have this go wrong. Or I'm not going to feed you for a couple days because you've got to learn how to, you know, whatever. But we believe this. We teach this. That God is causing all these horrible things in your life so that you will learn things. Once again, the only reason we learn only in the bad times is because we're too stupid to learn in the good times. Because if the Lord is my shepherd and I have no lack, there should be a minimal amount of bad times. You know, if your life is one just constant, this go wrong, this go wrong. You know, I know the classic is, you know, Satan's, you know, this, I'm doing this, so Satan's causing this, and I'm doing this, and so Satan's causing this. Boy, you're really special, aren't you? That you have Satan himself coming after you. Well, since I have learned that Satan is not my problem, you know I have a lot less problems in my life than when I believed it was always Satan causing me problems. So it's your choice. You can live however you want. If you want Satan to bring your things in your life, I guarantee he will cooperate with you. If you decide he has no right in my life and I'm not even going to deal with him unless God tells me to deal with him, then you have the choice. I have chosen, I'm going to focus on the answer. And whatever happens, I am not going to give credit to Satan. I am not going to deal with Satan unless God tells me to. But other than that, you know, I'm focusing on God. Why? Because I'm going towards the Lord being my shepherd. When the Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack. That's what I'm after. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So here we are, we've got ourselves in this mess. We're in this valley, and this valley is talking about a steep valley, a narrow gorge. In other words, it's tough going through. So we're talking about when, you know, things really, you know, fall apart in your life, and things are really, you know, not going well. And then notice here, the shadow of death. And so the definition of this is deep darkness distress. So things are really falling apart. And I'm sure if you're not there now, you have been in this situation where you don't know what to do. I have been there too, more than once. Can it never happen again? Yes, it can happen again. I can be in a situation like that. Does that mean God has failed me? No. Does it mean God's failed you? But if I face a situation like that, where am I going to turn? That's the determining factor of that. But I have been in those situations, just talking with the group Thursday night, that I have been in those situations and crying out, God, I don't know what to do. God, you know, and just, you know, that inside it's just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But then, you know, getting a hold of yourself and recognizing God, you know, pulling yourself back and thinking, God, 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 the answer in every situation. Amen. So we see here the shadow of death. Another thing, we have this shadow. You know, a shadow is not real. Do you ever see a shadow, you know, as a kid or maybe your kids, and they see this shadow and it really scares them because what they think it is, and then you see what the actual shadow is representing? So a lot of times, you know, it's the shadow. We're always, you know, that's what worry is about. You know, and anxiety and fear, that's what it's about, because we're looking at the shadow and we're giving it something that is not even, it probably isn't even that. You know, we're so worried, you know, about what's going to happen and what isn't going to happen and that kind of thing. It's because we're looking at the shadow of death. We're not dealing with death, but we've talked ourselves into it. That's that we think we're dealing with, you know, life is over and, you know, there's just no hope and all that. But it's only a shadow. So what are you going to do when you get in those situations? I will fear no evil. Oh, yeah, that's what most of us do. Yeah. Nah, piece of cake. I've got this. No, God, you know, you don't need to be, you know, I got this. Nah, I have no fear. No, my life is falling apart. Nah, I'm good. No, what do we do? We're petrified. Either we call everybody and his brother for prayer, or we turn away. God, you let me down. You know, God, it's your fault. Or, you know, we go to all these extremes. You know, we tell everybody about how bad it is. And, you know, and instead of going to the source, going to the answer. But it says here, when the Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You know, that's, you know, so many times, you know, I leave the house or I'm going into a situation and I say, God, it's you and me. And he comes through every single time. Every single time. But you know what? What I want you to get a hold of, it's not just for me. You know, it's a growing process. But I encourage you to do the same thing. Recognize in the good times and the bad, turn to God. Turn to the answer. Turn to the source. Because on your own, it's not going to happen. We're back to the fear and the anxiety and the dread. And, you know, and then you get into digestive problems. And then you get into pain. And you get into this. And your body starts, you know, doing this and doing that. All comes back to fear. But it says, no matter what I'm going through, I will fear no evil. Because when it comes down to it, it's okay. Because I am a child of God. And somehow, it's going to be okay. Verse 5. Oh, and one more thing in this one. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those words, that rod and staff, you know, they're for two things, for protection and guidance. You know, I was studying doing the David and Goliath message and studying this out. And I talked about the rod because it used to be, I didn't understand the difference, you know, why it had both of them in there. But one of the things they said about the rod, a lot of times, you know, it was a club. You know, and the end may be, you know, be bigger and they may have, you know, put like nails or something in it because it was used as a weapon. And so that's one of the things the shepherd used the rod for, was to, you know, to beat off any, you know, any predators or, you know, anybody that tried to harm his sheep. That was the purpose of it. So we can see here, your rod, you know, got your protection. You're protecting me. You as my shepherd. I am protected. You know, we need to remind ourselves of that. You know, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, we are protected no matter what situation we find ourselves in. You know, people say to me, you know, aren't you afraid living alone? I'm not. Because, you know, it's me and God, and it's okay. And I believe that, yeah, I'm not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then the staff is, you know, that's for guidance. You know, with sheep, you know, and sometimes it, you know, had the crook on it that, you know, we've seen in all the religious pictures. And that's because, you know, well, sometimes you have to use that crook. You know, same thing with the chickens. You get this thing with a crook hook on it because you have to, you know, grab a hold of their leg. And sometimes with sheep, to catch them, so you need to deal with them, you know, whether it's giving them medication or checking out a wound or something, you've got to catch them. Well, have you ever chased to sheep, they're not easy to catch. Done that. We used to ride them, actually. But anyhow, so they would take this crook to catch them, or the shepherd would use it to guide them. You know, maybe they're getting off the trail. You know, maybe they're headed for a problem. So they would use this crook, this stick, you know, the staff, to guide them. Well, it's the same thing with us. You know, God doesn't use the club on us. We think he does. But he doesn't. He uses the club to chase, you know, to beat off our enemies, you know, to deal with our adversaries. But for us, you know, he guides us. And a shepherd loves his sheep. A shepherd is, you know, a good shepherd is never mean to his sheep. He never beats his sheep. He leads his sheep, you know, because, you know, with a shepherd and sheep, once again, with sheep, they're not going to follow someone who beats them. They're not going to follow someone who hurts them. So the principle is true for us. He's not going to hurt us. Even though we think he will, if you study the word and you learn about who he is, we learn he will never harm us. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's comfort in knowing that he's there. I can go to sleep at night because he never falls asleep. You know, I can face situations where I'm not comfortable. You know, just this last week, you know, doing my first funeral. It was, I knew I was supposed to do it, but it was, you know, it was like doing my first wedding and doing my first baby dedication. It's just, I know I need to do this, but it wasn't like, you know, I would rather say, nope, don't want to do it. But knowing that he's there, knowing I can depend on him, knowing he's going to make it okay. Me getting up here every week, you know, to teach you. It's, I have to totally depend on God. If it's good, it's God. If it's not, it's me. And that, I totally believe that. Because it's Him. I have to do everything in Him. I am not qualified. No, I don't say I'm not qualified. I never thought I'd find myself in this situation. Never. Never did I ever believe that I would be where I am standing today. Never. But God did something inside me. God, it's all God, and I recognize that. Well, the same thing is true for you. Whatever situation you're in, whatever is in your future, don't be led by fear, but be led by the Lord your shepherd. Follow him. Life will just get better the more you follow him. Praise God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I will flat out tell you, I don't understand everything about this scripture. I know there's more than I have understanding at this point. You know, even looking into it and stuff, I haven't found, I know there's more, but I'm just going to share with you my understanding at this point. Once again, we're back to him. You prepare a table before me. You do it. It's not up to me to make it happen. It's not up to me to figure things out. You prepare a table before me. You prepare, one of the things that I read, it says, basically, I don't have to battle. The word says the battle is the Lord's. I don't have to fight. You know, I don't have to fight Satan. I don't have to fight people. I don't have to fight a situation. I need to trust God. It says he's going to prepare the table. And table, you know, what one of the meanings is a meal. It's, you know, it's abundance. It's, you know, providing everything that we could want or need. And he says, in the presence of my enemies. So it's not okay that things are just, you know, that I am going to have my needs met, that I'm going to be blessed simply when I have no problems, you know, simply, no, that's not simply when circumstances are going on. No, it says in the presence of my enemies. Another word for that is adversary. So we could say, we could use that as Satan. We could say, you know, in the presence of Satan, I am still okay. Or we can use it, you know, in other situations. But he says he's going to prepare the table. I don't have to make it happen. I just need to trust him. I just need to follow him as my shepherd, and it's going to be okay. And I have discovered the last couple of years especially, when things just looked like nothing was ever going to be right again, and still being at peace in the situation. You know, when Wayne broke his leg, I guess that was the last situation with him. But going into it, you know, In the beginning, it was extremely traumatic when it first happened. I will be flat out and say, I lost it. But as we went to the hospital, and from then on, we were both, you know, there was peace. You know, it just, even though you get all these negative reports and stuff, still inside there was peace. And so this is what we're talking about. It can still be at peace no matter what because if you're not at peace, you're not going to hear the voice of God. When you're in fear, I guarantee when you're in fear or anxiety, you cannot depend on hearing the voice of God. You may remember things from the past, but hearing the present voice of God, we can't do it because fear and God are not in the same realm. So we need to do whatever we need to do to get a hold of that and get rid of that fear, get rid of that anxiety, put off whatever we need to put off, put on whatever we need to put on so that we can be at peace. You anoint my head with oil. Anoint means, you know, and this is where things really get good, you know, in this psalm. He says, you anoint my head with oil. What that means is, you know, he causes you to become prosperous. You know, we think, you know, we live so below. We live life so below what belongs to us. We settle for so much garbage in our lives and so much lack and so much that isn't God. And we just convince ourselves because for whatever reason, this is going to be as good as it gets. You know, this is just, yeah, I'm doing okay. And yeah, I don't need to be a millionaire. Well, I don't need to be a millionaire either. I don't even necessarily want to be a millionaire, but I need, you know, isn't life a lot better when you don't have to worry about where the money's coming to pay your bills? Isn't life a lot better when you have no debt? Isn't life a lot better when you have a car that you know is going to pretty much going to start and you don't have to pray over it every time you go out there? Isn't life a lot better when you have a job that actually pays you a wage that you can live on? That's life in God. And if you're not there right now, the word tells us to be content, but never satisfied. Not until we're living in the full life that God has available to us. And once again, that's an individual thing. What I want in my life is probably totally different than what you want in your life. I pretty much guarantee it because for the most part, none of you want chickens or animals or to farm or, yeah. But whatever is your life, whatever you want in your your life in God, you have the right to that in God. Yep. Praise God, praise God. It says, you anoint, become prosperous. And then it says, you anoint my head with oil. In other words, it's poured over us. It says, my cup runs over. You know, finding a cup, I know there's more significance to what I have found about cup. But the thing that I found that I was looking for, yeah, as I was looking for it, I found the cup of joy, you know, to apply here. So once again, it's, you know, and it runneth over means abundance. So this verse alone is talking about he's going to take care of all your, you know, he's going to take care of Satan. You don't have to worry about fighting Satan. You don't have to worry about what's going on out there. You just spend your time with him. You just focus on him because he is preparing a table before you. Right in whatever situation you are right now, he is saying, you are prosperous. I'm making you prosperous right now. I am providing abundance for you right now. Well, I may not see it right now, but the more we focus on him, the more we work on our relationship in that, you know, learning about him and learning to trust him more, the more we are going to experience this table and our running over cup. And then the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word goodness, once again, welfare, prosperity, happiness. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to be healthy. Study the word of God. When the Israelites, every time they followed God, then their life was good. All of their needs were met. It tells us that they were wandering for 40 years. Even when they were disobedient, they were wandering for 40 years, and it says their shoes never wore out. That's God. Why do we think he's going to take things away from me? Why do we think that he's going to condemn me? You know, he's going to, you know, make me suffer when I screw up. Because we don't know who he is. We don't actually know who he is. He says, for goodness and mercy shall follow me. This word follow, it's not like, you know, a stalker. It's not like turn around, you know. And he's hiding on us. No, the word means pursue. He's pursuing us to try to bless us. You know, for whatever reason, you know, we're out of range. You know, we're running away from him or something. But it says here he's going to pursue us. He's pursuing us to bless us. All the days that shall follow me, all the days of my life, as long as I am here on this earth. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This word dwell, it has to do with abiding. Abiding in his presence. Once again, I'll tell you, you know, we need to learn how to experience his presence here. Because some of you, you may have never, you don't know how to experience his presence. So, but and we can accomplish so much more as we're in his presence together. So we need to learn how to be in his presence. But being in his presence is not limited to here. I can tell you that I am learning more and more to live in his presence. You know, driving back and forth to Pennsylvania, I am in his presence. I just experience a physical manifestation of his presence. You know, I can do what I do because most of the time I'm experiencing his presence. And when I go in the wrong direction, that's when I you know, and lose his presence, losing that sense of his presence. And so then I when I catch myself, I said, okay, what, I missed something here. I want to get back in his presence. Because once you have been in his presence, and then you for whatever reason, you get out of it. It's an awful feeling. It's just, yeah. And so fighting, you know, sometimes fighting to find what I need to line up with again. To get back in his presence. But this is what God wants for us. It's what I've been telling you this morning. This is what our life is supposed to be. Wouldn't it be phenomenal if this church had a testimony in the area around us? You know, those people there, you know, you need to go there. You need to talk to them because they got a hold of something. Somehow they know how to live life a whole lot different than what other churches, or what other people know, you know, Christians know how to live. But it's up to us individually. What are you going to do, you know, when you're not here? What are you going to do when you are here? What are you going to do when things go wrong? What are you going to do when things go right? What are you going to do when you feel anxiety? What are you going to do when you catch yourself worrying and when you wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, your mind is just going in 16 directions? What are you going to do? As we talked about before, life is a choice. We get to choose. I'm going to choose my thoughts. I choose my words. I choose my actions. The same thing is true for you. So if life, you know, they talk about, you know, in AA, you know, one drink at a time, dealing with one drink at a time. Well, it's the same thing with us. One thought at a time. Dealing with one thought at a time, training yourself, you know, turning to God, you know, reminding yourself, I'm not gonna allow my mind to go there. Training your mind. I am not gonna dwell on that. I am not gonna go there. I am going to, sometimes you have to force yourself, but you know, keep going back. You know, I am going to, whether I need to pray in tongues, whether I need to get into the word, whether I just need to say, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. Wherever you are, whatever point in your life, he is there. He is always there. And he wants to bless us so much. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, music team, you can get on the platform. We are going to receive our tithes and offerings. And I if you think about it, you know, if you've got a hold of anything of what I've just been talking about, it should be easy, you know, for you to give your tithes and offerings in praise and worship to him and thanksgiving, because you're not losing your money. You are just recognizing the source. And, you know, as you recognize the source of all of everything that we have, you're just recognizing, yeah, there's more where that came from. Yeah. Never have to give in fear. Never have to be forced to give, because there's more where that came from. And he's not demanding that you give him stuff that we don't have. We give out of what we have to the one who is the source of everything, knowing that there's more coming where that came from. Amen?